بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد Beliefs regarding Qiyamah. The major and minor signs. Belief number one, the various events which Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam informed us of that will occur before the advent of Qiyamah will definitely take place. The signs of Qiyamah are of two types. One is the minor signs. Those signs which began from the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's birth to the appearance of Hazrat Mahdi Radiallahu Anhu. The first sign is the honorable birth of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Other minor signs. Number one, the conquest of Baitul Muqaddas. Number two, ignorance of deen will increase greatly and the knowledge of deen will rapidly decrease. Number three, consumption of intoxicants will become common. Number four, fornication and adultery will become rampant. Shame and modesty will be eliminated. Five, speaking lies will become common. Six, the female population will increase. Seven, dancing, singing and musical instruments will become rampant. Eight, speaking lies will be regarded as a profession. Number nine, people will be disobedient to their mothers and subservient to their wives. Number 10, people will regard their fathers as strangers and regard their friends to be their close associates. Number 11, the immoral, evil and the worst in character will assume the reins of power and government. 12, public funds will be regarded as private property. 13, oppression will become the order of the day. 14, people will desire death due to the evil and false practices that will become rampant. 15. Zakat will be regarded as a fine or penalty. People will find it difficult to pay zakat. 16. The latter people of the Ummah will speak ill of the previous people. Number 17. People will extend their businesses to such an extent that they will bring their women folk into the business to assist them. Number 18. Salam will only be made with those one knows. Number 19. Control of the disbelievers will be established all over. And number 20, there will be an increase in natural disasters such as earthquakes, hurricanes, etc. As you can see, many of these signs already have become apparent, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warned us, one is we must abstain from them. When we see these signs becoming apparent, we must prepare ourselves for akhirat, for the life of the hereafter to a greater extent. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala give us true understanding. Last night in the Taraweeh Salah, the 15th Farah was recited. I might say that the subject matter and the theme of the surah is that towards the haq, the truth, a person must say labbaik, he must immediately come forward and accept the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the great importance of it and all the barriers which are there, how Allah ta'ala, he explains how a person will remove all of these barriers. So in the end of the surah, Surah An-Nahl, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give da'wat towards the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when there are people who are against you, they will try to cause harm to you, physical harm. Then you can take revenge, exactly what they have caused harm to you, you can do the same. And you can make sabr also. And for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for you the only thing is sabr. You must not even take revenge to the latest extent. And Allah is with you. So ulama says, in the day after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this quality, and he made so much of sabr, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the highest of ranks. Allah ta'ala took him for mi'raj. Through the barakat and blessings of sabr, of controlling himself, Allah ta'ala gave him the highest maqam and status of mi'raj. So Allah ta'ala mentions this in the beginning of the surah. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdi. One night Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Masjid al-Haram to the Masjid al-Aqsa. And he could see, linuriyahu min ayatina. The object of this mi'raj was to see Allah ta'ala's great signs. Many of Allah ta'ala's great signs. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given his great honor. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Masjid al-Aqsa, that those people who do not say labbaik to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, eventually what happens to them? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends their enemies, they take full control over them, blacken their faces, enter their houses, and do with them whatever they want to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah will have mercy upon you and you will come back to deen. But if you will turn away from deen again, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send down his conditions again. Ulama say that there are two masjids in the world. One is Masjid al-Haram, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has taken responsibility to look after the ilaf al-qura'i, alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil. When the people came And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent birds and completely destroyed the elephants also. So Allah will take full responsibility to look after Kaaba Sharif. And the other house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the world is Masjid Al-Aqsa. And this will be according to the amal of people. If the amal of the Muslims are good, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep it in the control of the Muslims. And when the amal and actions of the Muslims are evil, then Allah ta'ala will take it away from the Muslims, as unfortunately it's happening in the world today because of our evil actions. And immediately thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, "Inna hadha al-Qur'an yahdi lillati aqwam." This Qur'an Sharif is the one which will guide a person towards the straight path, and it will give glad tidings to the people of Iman. And those who do not believe in Akhirat, it warns them of a very, very severe punishment. So when a person will hold firm unto the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the masjid back to the Muslims also and control to the Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Allah has made the day and the night. This is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how physically also He has made sometimes day, sometimes night. Similarly, sometimes Allah makes it that the people of Iman are ghalib, are dominant because of their good actions. And sometimes the people of kufr and disbelief are dominant because of their evil actions, because of the Muslim people's evil actions. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that there are certain people in life, the object of life is this dunya. So Allah says, we will grant it to them whatever they want to. But then we have got the fire of Jahannam for them. On the other hand, there are those people, Allah ta'ala mentions four qualities they have got. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ A person with irada, whose intention is the year after. We have to make actually our intention towards the life of the year after, not of this world. A person has to live in this world, but our object must be the life of the year after. وَسَعَالَهَا Not only we are making intention, but a person must make an effort for it. A person must go towards that. And what kind of effort? سَعْيَهَا The correct effort. If a person is making an effort, like many monks and priests, but they are not making the correct effort, then they are also misguided. So the person has to make an effort, number two, number three, has to make the correct effort, following the sunnah tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, having sincerity, all other conditions. And number four, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ He must have the quality of Iman. Without Iman, nothing is accepted. فَوْلَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا Then all of the actions is appreciated in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't look at wealth. Some people Allah gives wealth, some people Allah ta'ala doesn't give wealth. That's not a clear sign of acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sign of acceptance is how much will a person follow the deen of haq, the true deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in three pages in great detail what are the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a person must do. He has to fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one. And number two, fulfill the rights of human beings. Stay away from sin. So Allah says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا Allah has passed a decision. You must only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worship none else but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا And to be kind towards one's parents. And here, Hazrat mentioned very beautifully from Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, وَقَضَى Allah said, Allah has passed decision. The word qadha is like how we're using the, it's a qadi, he's a qadi, he's a judge. And what does that judge do? A judge listens to two sides of the story. He listens to both the sides. People have come forward to the case. He listens to one group and he listens to the other group. And then he makes a decision. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to say that Allah says, I have listened to both sides of the story. I've heard the parents also and I've heard the children also. And the children have put forward their complaints about their parents. And the parents have put forward their complaints about the children. But Allah says, eventually the decision I have made is, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا That you must be kind to your parents. You must be good to your parents. There are three levels here. One is of zulam and oppression. That's impossible for any other human being also. You can't oppress somebody. Then one is adl, to be just. Somebody does good to you, you do good to them. So for other human beings, this is very good. You must be just. But when it comes to parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ihsana, that you must be kind towards your parents. Ihsan means now, somebody does wrong to you, still to you, you have to do right to them. وَإِنْ ظَلَمَا وَإِنْ ظَلَمَا وَإِنْ ظَلَمَا The hadith comes, even if they oppress you, even if they oppress you, even if they oppress you, you still your parents, you have to fulfill their rights. Your jannah lies at the bottom of their feet. Don't look what they are doing to you, what I have to do, what rights I have got to fulfill of theirs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and then five commands Allah gives regarding parents, that if one of them reaches old age, or both of them, don't even say akh to them. Akh means that when you have to change their nappies, and maybe now you have to clean them, at that time also don't say akh, and don't show displeasure. When you were a small child, happily they did this for you. Now today when they have reached this age, you also must do it happily. Don't even feel upset at that time. Akh. وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا When you are speaking to them, do not shout them. Sometimes they get upset, they shout you. Now we shout them back. It's my parents, I cannot shout them. Even if they have got that quality within them. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا And speak to them with words of honor and respect. Don't call them by their names, but call them with titles of respect. Mother, father, ammi, abbi, whatever titles of respect. And when you speak to them also, humble yourself while speaking in your speech also. and in your actions also, وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. Not only you're speaking to them and humbling yourself, but even in your actions, you humble yourself before them, out of having mercy and shafqat in your heart for them. And finally, make dua for them, it's your duty. رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Oh Allah, have mercy upon them, like how they had mercy upon me when I was small. Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahmatullah alayhi, says that the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is 5 times a day we must perform our salah. It's the minimum right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, minimum right of our parents, at least 5 times a day we make dua for our parents. And this dua of the Quran, رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. And then Allah says that, I know you got weaknesses in yourself. رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا فِي نُفُوسِكُمْ. Allah knows how much you've got desire to make khidmat and serve your parents, or whether you have got evil intentions. But if you are good, فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ لِلْأَوَّابِينَ غَفُورًا. Allah is all forgiving for those who will make tawbah in abundance. It means no matter what you do for your parents, you can never fulfill their rights. So after doing all you can do, make tawbah in istighfar, ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, and Allah will forgive you. Allah knows in your heart you have got a good intention. Together with this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fulfill the rights of other people, all your family members, the poor people, the travelers. وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا. And do not waste your wealth. Because those who are wasting the wealth, they are the brothers of shaitan. If a person spends all of his money in the truth, in haqq, for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not wasted. But the ulama say, if a person spends one dirham, one rand, in things which have no benefit for a human being, then this is called tabzir. And this is the quality of shaitan. And today in our weddings, how much of money is spent? In holidays, how much of money is wasted? Millions of people are spending. And whereas so many people in the ummah are going through poverty, so many makatibs can be built, so many madaris can be built, so much of benefit can be utilized with that money. But so much of the ummah's money is unfortunately wasted. And for futile things which have no benefit for a person, fireworks, and all these other things, the person must really ponder. The money is a ni'mat and bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I have to utilize it also as Allah Ta'ala has commanded me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, doesn't mean on the other hand, that if somebody comes now, you must give all your money in the path of Allah Ta'ala, you've got nothing at all left to fulfill the rights of your family, yourself. No, a person must do so. You also have to look after yourself. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not kill your children out of the fear of poverty. In the 8th para, Allah said, لا تقتلوا أولادكم من إملاك. At the present moment, you've got poverty, so now you're killing your children. The Allah Ta'ala said, we will be giving rozi to you, we're looking after you, and we will give them rozi in the future also. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not kill your children out of the fear of poverty. Later on, I got fear, I'll become poor if I have got children to look after. So for the future, khashyata imlaq, out of the fear of poverty. Because we are the one who will sustain them also, and we will sustain you. Ya Allah ta'ala mentions them because you are worried about them. In the other place, your person is worried about himself. I'll go through poverty. So Allah says, we're giving you sustenance and we're giving them sustenance. And Ya Allah says, we will give them sustenance and we will look after you. And as we had mentioned there, that Mawlana Ahmad Lahori rahmatullah alayhi said, there are two types of killing. One is physically killing a child, and one is spiritually killing the child, depriving him of deen, education, etc. So we are, and out of the fear of poverty, that my child will become poor if I don't give him this education. So we deprive a person of deen, education, only giving him dunya education. Or we send him to such environments which completely destroy his iman, only out of the fear of poverty. Allah Ta'ala says killing them is a very severe sin. And one main cause of killing them is وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا zina, because of zina. Zina becomes common. Abortion takes place to such an extent. So Allah said, do not even come close to zina. Never mind zina itself. Even those things which lead a person towards zina, a person should abstain from it. Never kill and murder a person. Do not utilize the wealth of the orphan people except properly. Fulfill your pacts and promises. Especially in your business dealings, be very careful. And whatever you have no knowledge of, do not run after that. Do not say things which you have got no knowledge of, because your ears and your eyes and your heart will all be questioned about on the day of Qiyamah. Do not walk on the earth with pride and arrogance. You cannot tear open the earth, and you can't reach the mountains in height, how weak you are. So these are all evil actions and qualities. And never have make shirk and take partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the beautiful teachings of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you will not follow the deen of haqq, the true deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, eventually a person will now start worshipping idols. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in great detail, how people worship idols and all the wrong things they are doing. And then eventually a person will start following shaitan. And shaitan is the great and evil enemy of human beings. And he has taken a qasam. And Allah has given him certain powers with your voice, with your propaganda. You can try to misguide whomsoever you want to. And you attack human beings with your khaylika, wa rajilika, with all your different armies. In the past, armies, even in today's time, one is physically, they are killing people. One is by sportsmen, film actors and actresses and all of these people. They are also the armies of shaitan. They are attacking human beings and people are following them. وَشَارِكُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. Join them in their wealth, in their banking system. and putting your interest, earning in the haram ways, wal awlad, getting the children in the haram ways, out of wedlock. When the children are born, then to put them in the wrong environment. All of this here is the tricks of shaitan. When a person will not follow the true deen, then unfortunately he will follow for the tricks of shaitan, wa'idhum, and give them all false promises. Shaitan promises nothing but deception. Whole life of a person who follows shaitan will only find himself in deception. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about tahajjud namaz and the great virtue of tahajjud namaz. Even Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is encouraged to read the salah. He will get very high maqam and status because of that. So the encouragement to the ummah to also read tahajjud namaz. They will also be attain that high level and closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by means of tahajjud salah. And then eventually at the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions many mawani', things which prevent a person from accepting the true deen. And Allah ta'ala gives answer towards the death. And finally the qualities of the people who are wasila baked to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people of knowledge. As soon as the eyes of the Quran Sharif, they humble themselves, they fall down, they are crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it increases them in khushu and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next surah is Suratul Kahf, and this is surah we are encouraged every Jummah, a person must try to read it, and learning the first 10 verses, last 10 verses also will save a person from the fitnas of Dajjal and all the evils of Dajjal. And Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Najwi rahmatullah alayhi says that the theme of the surah is Iman versus materialism. He says because the biggest fitna of Dajjal is materialism, dunya, this world, running after this world, and the opposite of that is Iman. So this is the big muqabala, this is Dajjal's fitna which he will bring forward, materialism and feminism and all of these things, liberalism. But the main thing is dunya. You must have the world fulfill every desire of yours. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the surah in great detail Allah has refuted this whole thing. Starting off with the first verse, Alhamdulillah, alladhi anzala ala abdi al-kitab. Allah has given us the solution. Allah has sent upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam his kitab, the Quran Sharif. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا. In the Quran there is no crookedness. In every other kind of knowledge there is crookedness. This person will become misguided. But in the knowledge of the Quran there is no misguidance that Allah has given to you people to hold firm onto. And if a person holds onto this, he'll be successful. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what a great kitab it is. And Allah warns us in this kitab, especially about the kuffar and disbelievers, but especially those people who say Allah has taken a child, which are the Christians. Even though the Jews are the biggest followers of Dajjal, the Jews will utilize the Christian people in front so that the people will start following them, unfortunately. So Allah ta'ala warns us about regarding them. And Allah says they've got no knowledge really, neither them nor their forefathers. And the words which are coming out from their mouth are very, very evil. They are only speaking lies. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remember on the earth we have made deenatullah. Everything is just a beautification. Why? It's an examination. Allah is testing a person. لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّ مَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. If you want to test people and see who will do the best of actions. And remember finally, وَإِنَّا لَجَاعِلُنَا مَا عَلَيْهَا سُعِيدًا جُرُزًا. We're going to completely destroy this whole world. Whatever is on it, it's temporary for a few days. So why are you putting your heart and your mind and your efforts completely in the dunya? This is an examination hall. The person is working in an examination hall. That's not the object of his life. He's just in the hall. He's sitting there. He's writing his exam for a short while. The paper also is not the object. As soon as the paper is finished, he's going to squash it up and throw it in the dustbin. There's no value for that. This whole world is an examination hall. There's no value for it. As soon as the imtihan is finished, Allah Ta'ala will take it and completely destroy it. Then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala speaks about the youngsters. They were in an environment of kufr and disbelief. Wealth, enjoyment, holidays, every kind of fulfillment of desires. But at that time they stood up and said, Amanu, we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innahum fityatun, they were youngsters. But they had an iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah made their hearts firm. When they stood up and said, Allah is our creator and sustainer. We won't call anybody else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they went into a cave. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even used a nafak animal, a dog, to look after them. So, the ulama write, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them, their bodies were turning this way, that way, in the cave they were, but Allah ta'ala looked after all of their needs, and fulfilled their needs, and in today's time, ulama say that the spiritual cave which Allah has given us are the madaris, Allah has given us the masajid, Allah has given us the khamkas, Allah has given us the tabligh jamaat. These are spiritual caves, where a person goes into these environments, in the places, even though outside it's all the fitnas, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him in amazing, amazing ways. Allah will give, look after them and sustain them also in amazing ways. A person himself will be shocked. And so when all the fitnas will come, and Allah will use such people also, the dogs of this world, sometimes non-Muslim people, sometimes whoever, they will protect and look after the people of the cave. Because that person has given himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Manazil Ahsan Gilani rahmatullahi says that Allah has mentioned 8 usools and 8 principles. that any person in any zamana, no matter what fitnas around him, Allah Ta'ala will protect him from all of the fitnas and evils around him. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Never ever say anything except that you are using the name of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So in the fitna of the Jahl is that everyone must forget Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, take out Allah from the equation. Speak about everybody else, atheism, whatever it is, but take out the name of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala from the equation. Whereas Allah is encouraging us that whenever you remember, say Allah, take the name of Allah, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah. All the time a person is taking the name of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala on his tongue, Bismillah. This is such an important dhikr, just to take the name of Allah Ta'ala before starting off any action. So in all our actions we are connecting to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Secondly, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, Waskur Rabbaka. Take out some time to make the dhikr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Because of the fitnas around, a person's heart becomes blackened. And Allahumma iftah aqfala qulubina bi dhikrik. Oh Allah, open up the locks of our heart by your dhikr. So when a person will take out time, make dhikr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala daily, sometime this will help a person to save him from all of the environments around. Number three, Allah mentions the story of the people in the cave. They lived 309 years. So ulama say that here a person must read the stories of the pious people of the past. Keep reading about them, incidents not only of the Anbiya alayhi salam, of them, of the Sahaba, of the pious predecessors. When you will read about their stories, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give himmat and courage to a person. These are among the armies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It gives a person spiritual strength now to go ahead. And now he gets courage also that these people could do it, why can't I also do it? So the third is to read the stories of the pious predecessors. وَاتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ. Take out some time to make tilawat of the Qur'an Sharif, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read it daily. And a person will make tilawat of Qur'an Sharif, also his heart will become cleansed, the rust will be removed from there, and he will find a solace, and he will find a solution to many, many things, even though he doesn't understand the Qur'an Sharif, but to make tilawat of Qur'an. Number five, وَاتْفِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. That keep yourself from, it might be difficult, all the environments around you, is calling a person towards evil, the cell phone and all of these things. But Allah says, bind yourself and make sabr and go against the nafs and stay in the company of the righteous and the pious people who are calling Allah Ta'ala morning and evening, and their object of life is the akhirat, the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Don't turn your eyes away from them, seeking the enjoyments of this worldly life. But stay always in the company of these people. And this was such an important command Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentioned, that do not follow those people, the opposite. You do not have evil company, those people whose hearts we have made unmindful of our dhikr, those poor people who are following their desires, and every action of theirs exceeds the bounds. They do not have atidal and moderation in them, and they fulfill every desire of theirs. Don't follow such people. As you mentioned, all of these people in the books, and the people on the television, and the film actors, actresses, whose hearts are completely unmindful of our dhikr, do not be wary of evil company. Seventh, qualities, وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Give da'wah towards haqq. When a person is da'i, he won't become mad'u. He won't be called to. But he must himself give the da'wah towards the true deen. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Whoever wants to, he'll accept iman. Whoever doesn't want to, you won't accept iman. That's not your worry. But you give da'wah to yourself. The benefit of the da'wah is, you'll become stronger in whatever you are giving da'wah towards. And finally, read about Jannat and read about Jahannam. Carry on keeping this in our mind. Normally we forget about Jannat and Jahannam, but from a small age, in our children and ourselves also, we have to carry on reading about Akhirat, pondering about Akhirat, because around us is dunya. So thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about dunya, so a person must also continue thinking about dunya, how temporary it is. Allah gives an example of it, how it comes, the rains come down, plantations you get for a few days, eventually it's destroyed. So a person must keep thinking about Akhirat, think about the day of Qiyamah, when you will see the mujrimeen fearing the kitab which will be given to them, and they will say, Ya waylatana mali hadhal kitab. What's wrong with this kitab? It has not left any small thing, any big thing. Every single thing is found in this kitab. Wawajidu ma amilu hadira. Whatever they have done, they will find it present before themselves. And Allah will not make zulam and oppression upon any single person. And Shaitan will try to make all of his efforts in that time also. And Allah Ta'ala told him to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam. He refused. He's your open enemy. So be very, very careful of him. How can you take him as a friend? Bi italil zalimina badala. What an evil friend, the battle you're taking in place of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah said, مَا أَشْهَتُمْ خَلْقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. I did not make them present when Allah created the heavens and the earth. So they know there was a big bang theory or whatever. Allah said, I'm the one who created the heavens and the earth. وَلَا خَلْقَ أَنفُسِهِمْ. And when they created themselves, also when I created them, they also were not present at that time. Allah Ta'ala, Darwin's theory of evolution, Allah is refuting that both of these two, which are the big fitnas of today's time. They say this is all a shaitani thing, it seems. That is why Allah Ta'ala mentioned it after shaitan has come. That this is the two fitnas you will bring. Allah said they were not present at that time, so how do they know that these things happened in the past? I'm the creator, sustainer. I'm telling you exactly, we are the ones who created this here. We created human beings in the most best of forms. So do not believe in all of this satanic beliefs and the atheistic beliefs which these people are pumping in the world. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the Quran, that Allah has given us this Quran in different ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained to us so that a person can understand whole form unto the teachings of the Quran Sharif. So inshallah, a person will be saved from all the fitnas and evils around. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true understanding.
بالله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد عن معاوية رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خرج على حلقة من أصحابه فقال ما أجلسكم قالوا جلسنا نذكر الله ونحمده على ما هدانا للإسلام ومن به علينا قال آلله ما أجلسكم إلا ذلك قالوا آلله ما أجلسنا إلا ذلك قال أما إني لم أستحلفكم تحفة لكم ولكن أتاني جبرائيل فأخبرني أن الله تعالى يباهي بكم الملائكة رواه مسلم حضور اقدس صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ایک مرتبہ صحابہ کرام رضوان اللہ علیہم اجمعین کی ایک جماعت کے پاس تشریف لے گئے اور دریافت فرمایا کہ کس بات نے تم لوگوں کو یہاں بٹھایا ہے. عرض کیا کہ اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی کا ذکر کر رہے ہیں اور اس بات پر اس کے حمد اور ثنا کر رہے ہیں کہ اس نے ہم لوگوں کو اسلام کی دولت سے نوازا. یہ اللہ کا بڑا ہی احسان ہم پر ہے. حضور اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا کیا خدا کی قسم صرف اسی وجہ سے بیٹھے ہوں؟ صحابہ کرام رضوان اللہ علیہ اجمعین نے عرض کیا خدا کی قسم صرف اسی وجہ سے بیٹھے ہیں. حضور اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا کہ کسی بدگمانی کی وجہ سے میں نے تم لوگوں کو قسم نہیں دی بلکہ جبریل میرے پاس ابھی آئے تھے اور یہ خبر سنا گئے کہ اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی تم لوگوں کی وجہ سے ملائکہ پر فخر کر رہے ہیں. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once found a gathering in a masjid engaged in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He inquired as to what they were doing. They replied, we have sat here to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to praise Him for guiding us to Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba to take an oath that this was the only purpose for them sitting here. After taking an oath, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have not asked you to take an oath due to any suspicion of lies, but rather because Jibreel alayhi salam has just informed me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was boasting about you to the angels. Once again, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once found a gathering in the masjid engaged in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He inquired as to what they were doing. They replied, we have sat here to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to praise Him for guiding us to Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba to take an oath that this was the only purpose for them sitting there. After taking an oath, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have not asked you to take an oath due to any suspicion of lies, but rather because Jibreel alayhi salam has just informed me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was boasting about you to the angels.